What do I gotta clean? What?
Okay, gentlemen, we're continuing after a couple of weeks hiatus. Last time we met in the 12th chapter in the Rambam, Halacha Aleph. It was a long halacha, and Beis continues off from Aleph. So I'll spend a couple minutes reviewing the main ideas. I'm not going to go over every single detail. We said that chapters 12 through 19 is going to focus on the Tumah of Ohel. Remember, an Ohel, meaning a structure, can do two things. If there is Tumah, let's say in an Ohel, let's say a very simple thing. You have a board that is at least one tefach square, okay? And underneath that, you have airspace from the corpse and on of one tefach high. So you've got a board. I know this is not a square, but let's assume it's one tefach square or more. Mm-hmm. And from the corpse, you have one tefach of air. That is Tumas Ohel. And therefore, anything under this Ohel is, dispersed. All right, dispersed. Everything underneath becomes tummy. Yeah. A classic Ohel. Right? So let's say this is the corpse, and this is another item, whatever. So now the tumma goes up, it disperses, and everything in that air becomes tummy. Mm-hmm. A true Ohel blocks the tumma, and no tumma rises beyond that. And therefore, if you have the same kind of structure and you have tumma on top, that tumma will not break through and will only give tumma going up.
All the way up.
What's
as,
over it.
Yeah. As is illustrated in black and white.
But not, well, that's not what I want to look. Don't look at that. That's nothing what we're talking about right now. And that spreads it out. So that was the general idea of tumma. And then, so normally, if you have a classic Ohel, it does two things. Disperses the tumma within the Ohel, blocks the tumma from going beyond the Ohel, and therefore no tumma that's underneath can now go on top. And the reverse, if there's tumma on top, it keeps it on top of the Ohel, and nothing goes below the Ohel. Then the Rambam came along and said, when is that true? Is when the Ohel is a conventional Ohel, and it's not an Ohel by means of human beings or utensils. Because you could have, for example, human beings holding up and supporting a plank. Okay? Or you have utensils that are supporting a plank. Now, when it's a human being or utensils, the halacha changes. The halacha changes the fact whether they themselves, the human being or the utensils, are the Ohel, the structure over the top, or if they're the walls of that structure, even if these are utensils that don't be makabel tum at all, what do? They disperse the tumma underneath. That they still do. The tumma gets dispersed, but it doesn't block and it goes through. So these two factors of dispersal and blockage from above are not dependent one on another. Only when it's a standard Ohel, let's call it. Standard Ohel dissipates the tumma underneath and blocks it from on top. But if a human being or utensils, only those two things, in any way, shape, or form, are part of the Ohel, then all the tumma dissipates here. And then once that dissipates, then it can go through and goes through, and it doesn't matter who and what was where. So if the tumma is over here, and you have human beings forming the walls over here, everything underneath is going to be tame, and then everything on top, even if, let's say, the carcass is here, and the other item is here, once the tumma dissipates throughout the entire bottom area, it will now make the entire top area tame, and vice versa. If you got human beings holding on to this, and there's a thing of tumma on top, it's also not considered breaking it, and it's like it's just on the ground. And that's how that goes all around. And then he ended off Halacha Aleph discussing a particular case. And maybe we should go to the last two lines, because Beis follows up right after Aleph from that. Okay?
You want to wait for a question?
Oh, go ahead.
How do we define utensils that would have the same impact as people?
Metal rods?
whatever is halachically considered a utensil. There are certain things that are not considered a utensil.
What's not? Like rocks? What's
well, not he'll go into it. Could be a rock is not a utensil.
So walls, right. Standard walls are not.
Board. A board that's...
A regular utensil. Cups would be a utensil. Anything that functions as a utensil.
It has to be a kli.
It has to be considered a halachic kli, which if you want to know more about it, when we learn the Rambam Hilchos Kalim, we'll give you better definitions of what Kalim are considered here.
Where are we doing that?
Sooner or later. Okay.
The answer is we already did that.
Okay. Now, look at the last two lines in Halacha Aleph. For example, he says, "Aval im haluach hayam." But if you have a board, hayamunach al gabe arba avonim on four stones that are not utensils, or al gabe behema v'chayo, or on top of an animal or a wild animal, domesticated or not domesticated, which is not a human being or utensils, now we have a standard ohel, a standard ohel. V'hoisa tuma tachtov, and there was tuma underneath that. Hare a kalim shal gabav taharim. The utensils on top are tar because now we have a standard ohel which blocks the tumah from going through. And now it just continues on in base. Hoysa tumah al gabav. In that same case now where the tumah is blocked, if there is tumah on top of the board, hare kol hakelim shetachtov taharim. All the utensils underneath the board are now tar because it blocks from, just like it blocks from the bottom not going up, from the up not going down. Why? Because an ohel does create a barrier between the tumah. And then he adds, uklei glolim, and utensils that are made out of manure, uklei avonim, and rock, utensils made out of rocks, uklei adama, and utensils made out of earth, which, very important now, haboim bimida, that come with measure, which means they're eujungus. They're very large, and we don't move them at all. Big, big, heavy cupboards or whatever, closets that are not movable. Okay, so therefore they don't have a hal, and they're all not susceptible to tumah. So they function as hareihem keohalim. They are considered like an ohel, a regular ohel. Ve'enu keilim, they're not a keili. Even though it's sort of a keili,
really.
If it would have been a small little bookcase, it would be a keili. But since this doesn't move, they're not considered like utensils. Ulafika, therefore, chotzitzim b'fnei atumah, they do serve as a barrier between tumah, whether going down or up or down. Okay, that concludes that simple, general overview of how an ohel functions and the difference between an ohel that's made out of human beings, has to do with human beings or with regular utensils. Now the fun begins. Okay, and that's what this picture is going to be all about. Now, just to describe what you're doing, there's two separate pictures, and we'll look at each picture separately. The one on the right side we'll discuss first. The one on the left side we'll discuss second. What you have over here are stoves. Those items underneath the plank are stoves. There's two different kinds of stoves. There are stoves that have been fired up in the kiln, and stoves that have not been fired up in the kiln. One will be considered a keli, one will not be considered a keli. There's a board on top, a plank on top of the stove. Now, in the picture here, that little black semicircle is considered the item that's tame. Okay, that's the item that's tame.
Keep looking.
And the two white things are people or utensils or whatever things that may exist. Okay, so now that we have that, let's try to understand the halacha over here. Gimel. Now, first, we'll focus on the right-hand picture first. Neser, a plank. Shunosan al pi tanur chadosh, which is placed on a brand new stove. Now, a stove, that the stoves are made out of mud. Okay, and as long as they've not been fired up on the kiln, they do not have a status of a kli, because they're really not going to function well. They will break very quickly because they haven't been fired up in the kiln. So if you're going to use it, it will break. So even though it's a structure, but it's not a kli. So therefore, that contraption that has been created by this, now let's think about this. The board on the top We're going to tell you right now, it's a tefach by a tefach square, and there's more than a tefach down to the ground. So that could be an ohel, depending on what the support is made out of. The first case here, since it's an oven that's not fired up, so it's not a keli. Since it's not a keli,
it's never ever been fired up.
Never been fired up.
It's brand new.
So now it's going to have the status of a perfect ohel. That's going to be the status of it. It's being held up by a non-keli.
Right.
So it's like a standard ohel. Okay? Now, there's another thing involved over here. The odef mikol stadov. And now there's extra sticking out, very important now, on all four sides, whether you can see that in the picture or not, which is not the greatest three-dimensional picture, but it's going out on all four sides.
Yep.
All right? Beposeach tefach. And a tefach now is going beyond those sides. So now what you have is, even beyond the stove, you have another, the ohel continues, as it were, on all four sides. Wherever you go outside the stove, you've got an area that's a tefach squared around you. And now, hoisa tuma tachas haneser, now that black semicircle that's on the floor, that's the tuma. There's tuma under that plank. So, first of all, Ram doesn't say, okay, so kelim shall gabov, any utensil on top, those two white cylindrical items, tahorim, they're tar.
Yeah.
Even if they're right over it or not right over it,
doesn't matter.
It's a perfect barrier, and the tuma is not penetrating through the ola.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but it doesn't have to say it, if there'd be any tuma underneath any other items underneath anywhere where the plank overhangs, be tummy. Ram doesn't have to tell us that. That's obvious.
We know that.
Let's reverse it now. What if the tuma is al gabov? What if the tuma is on top? One second.
Yes, that picture.
The tuma is on top. Kalim shetacht of taharim. Any utensils that are underneath will be tar. So that could be the left picture, really. Mivnei shataner chadash, because a new stove ena ke kalim linyan says not considered a utensil in this aspect to be a chatzitza, and therefore the board is a chatzitza. That is so. Now in the second, the left case, the tumah's on the top. It doesn't go down because you have a perfect chatzitza with the board.
Yeah.
Being supported by something that's a non-keli. Now, if we take this picture now and just change one thing and say the stove is an old stove,
it's
been fired on the kiln, and now it does have a status of a keli.
Now,
what are we going to say? The tuma will dispense everywhere disperse everywhere underneath, and then everywhere underneath will now come up, and whatever is under any type of tuma. Above, it's above any tuma that's below, will become tame, obviously. So, v'mhaya yoshan hakol tame. So, any case you have, let's say the case on the right side, where the tuma's on the bottom there. So now, the tuma goes straight through, it'll be matame.
Both those things are impure.
In this case only, it'll only be matame one of them, because there's nothing else that's tame below, right? It would still disperse, so I guess it would make them both tame.
Yeah,
and if it's on the top, it would make everything tame on the bottom, because once it goes down, it disperses through the entire thing.
Yeah.
So that's that. So it's basically just telling you, all it really is telling you is there is between a new and an old tanur.
Right.
That's all it's saying. That a new tanur is not considered a keli,
even though
so
it has the potential to be a
standard ohel, while an old tanur is a keli, and now we have that exception to the rule or the stringency in both cases.
Is there, Rabbi, an interior to this tanur?
Yeah.
A who?
An
you
interior.
Yes, but that's not important.
Wouldn't that be tummy?
No, we're not worried about that. Anything that's underneath, that plank is the ohel. And that's
so the tana is also becoming tummy.
It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant.
It's not everything underneath it.
They're talking about the
keli.
It's not a
keli. Oh, it's all. If it's possible,
it's not a keli, so it's irrelevant.
Now, even if it, even
that's if all the objects underneath,
something inside the eye is also affected.
Raul's not talking about it, so I ain't talking about it.
Okay.
How's that?
We won't make the rabbi talk.
I ain't talking about it.
We'll make you talk.
Okay,
yes.
Now.
It is.
Well, we're skipping something. It's not letting me.
What's not letting you do now?
What
do you
okay, we did. Chen Nasser.
Finish Gimel Gas, starting Dalet.
Okay.
Nah. Dalet 1. D1.
Okay, that's the picture we want. Okay, this picture is a little bit different. How off the Dalet.
You have to move it up a little bit for us.
Okay.
Okay, now here, let me explain to you. You got two stoves. The plank is different than the plank before, even though the picture may not be clear enough.
It doesn't overlap.
The plank does go over both stoves. Uh-huh. It does extend to the right and to the left, one tefach, but does not extend before and behind it.
Yeah.
It's in other
it's
words,
flush.
It's flush right on top of the stove. Right. It's not hanging over the stove. Very right. Important difference over here. Okay, so now let's figure. So now, even though what we said in Halacha Gimel, there's going to be a limitation to the above rule when the plank does not protrude on all four sides.
Mm-hmm.
So Neser, a plank, Shunasan al pish de tanurim, that's sitting on top of two stoves. Afilu Yeshoni, even old stoves.
So they're Kalim.
So now they're Kalim and can now disperse
above
all the Tumah that's underneath and above, in theory. Okay? So we've got a very strong Chumrah Dika situation over here. Okay? Afilu Yeshonim Va'odef Michutza Letanerze. There's extra going to the left of one Taner. And to the right of the other tumah, let's say there's a piece of tumah underneath between the two tanurim under the plank.
That's the semicircle.
I think is the tumah.
Correct.
So now beinehem bilvad tame.
That's it.
Only what's between them is tame. Avol kelim shetacha shtei haktzavos. But the kelim that are on the edges outside of the tanurim, tahorim the tahar. Why? Shaharei hein kishnei ohalim.
Wow.
Zebisadze. Because they're considered like two separate ohalim, one next to the other, and they're not considered attached.
Wow.
Okay? And the reason is because it's not extending beyond on both sides.
In front and behind.
That's right. Because there's got to be room for that tumah to go around. There's no space for the tumah to go around. When the blord was coming out, now you had an ohel going beyond. So now it's just this. It's stuck. It's nowhere to go anymore. There's nothing beyond
there's no
that.
Ohel there.
So the edge creates an entire unit.
So all you really have is the ohel. Yeah. The part in between is really the only ohel that exists.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask one question?
Because the stuff on top of the stove is just sitting on top of the stove. There's no real ohel over there that's going to go over anything else over there.
Could I ask one?
No, let me just finish the halacha. Okay. Then you can do. V'chei neser shehu nosan al pi tanur. Similarly, the plank that's over the tanur afilu yoshan. One second. Avol kelim shetacha shteyak so shehu the tarim sherei henkish nehalim zokezeh. Okay. V'chei neser shehu nosan al pi tanur. And similar, you have a Nesser on one tanur. Is that another picture or not? One second.
Look at D2. What's under D2? There is. There's a second picture under D2. There it is, Rabbi. Pull it up. There you go.
Ah, yeah. Okay. V'chein Nesser shunosan al pi tanur. Similarly, if you have a plank on one stove, I feel yosh, even an old one. The yotzim is that tefach, is that tefach, and tefach is going out on one side to the other side. Avolom in asorim, but not on the other sides, front and back. The tumah b'tzadze and tumas on one side. Kalim shebetzad asheni tame, but the kalim on one side are tame, but not on the other side, because there's not stove is now a barrier. If it was going out, there's room for the tumah to go around. If the board was coming out of Tefla, the tumah is going around. But now the Tumah just stops right at that place, yeah. Right at that
time. You should have done this case first. This one's simpler, you know. This
one. Okay, write a letter to the editor.
To the Rambam.
To the Rambam.
His family,
okay.
His family.
So, okay, what's your question now?
Question is, you see that little white peg there that it's Tahor?
Yeah.
If you moved it over and it just touched the stove, is it now Tumah?
No. It's a block, right? Because it doesn't transfer over.
It's a Kaili. The stove now is a Kaili.
I don't know if the stove is Tumah. I don't know. Rambam's not telling us, so I don't know. He's avoiding discussing it, so I don't know.
Write the Rambam, I'll ask him.
Ask him about that too. Okay.
You do it next.
I suggest you collect your questions. Just send one message.
Okay. Next case, Halacha Dalid. Now we're going to deal with a number of issues all at the same time to make it tricky over here. First, let's explain what this picture is. Now, I can't fit the picture in one side, so it's just keep watching as I scroll it.
We're on hay right now, right?
Yes.
See, as I'm scrolling it. Now, this is a picture of a goad, G-O-A-D, that used to hit the animals. Okay, now the goad is cylindrical.
Peter's not listening.
Okay, look at it as being cylindrical.
Yes.
All over. Okay, now, the question is going to be, we've already discussed that for the Tumah to be an ohel, it has to be a square tefach.
Correct.
Okay, very good.
That's the
but what do we do if we're dealing with round items? Okay, let's say this is the goad. Okay, let's say there's a corpse underneath the goad.
Oh, that's a Kaylee, though.
Right? And now there's somebody over here, let's just say.
Okay.
Would this be like an ohel?
How wide is
now,
that?
The question is, what would the circumference of the goad or the round object? Yes.
Circumference is all over.
Yes.
Okay.
I know what I'm saying. What would the circumference be? Because when you know the circumference, and we know that the ratio between the circumference and the diameter is pi,
yes.
Or in rabbis approximated to 3, so now if you've got a circumference, so if we see that the circumference is 3 tefachim, then we know the diameter is 1 tefach.
Yes.
And then we'll know that it's going to be wide enough to become an ohel. That's the main point of this halacha. Okay, now there's a lot of other issues of Tumah over here that get a little bit tricky, and there's going to be a bunch of rabbinic laws that are going to be put into this case as well. So let's try to take this slow over here. But that's the main point over here. We've been dealing with square amos, flat,
boards.
One by one. Now we're dealing with cylindrical objects. And it's just not, you know, it's hard to tell when you're looking at a round object. So if you can figure out what the circumference is, then you know what the diameter is. Okay, now, but there'll be other issues that we're going to add to this as we go ahead. Now, we're speaking about a case, Adam, a person, shenasa kli, is carrying a kli, but not holding on to the kli. Because if he'd be holding on to the kli, he'd be tamei right away. 7 days. It's a tamei kli. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about, let's say he's got gloves on or something. So now he's carrying it. So now it's the only issue of carrying, which would only give a tumah of one day. So you got a person who's carrying this goad, kagod mardas, like a goad, ukayoitz or anything else, but we're basically talking about a round object. The hail tzada kli, and one side of that goad is covering al hatuma and tumah. So now the question is, well, it's the tumah now is moving, could move if it's an ohel, and the first one involved in the ohel is the person himself who's holding the goad.
Right.
Okay.
He's carrying
the goad. Yeah. Will that tumah disperse and affect him? Okay. So now, if the circumference is tefach, which is only a tefach, that's not nearly enough, because the circumference is a tefach, the diameter is only a third of a tefach.
That's make it.
But we're going to have a rabbinic law coming in a second. Afal pi she'ein baruch, well, even though the width, el aroch av etzbo shish, only has the width of 1 1/3 fingers, which is 1/3 of a tefach, because a tefach is 4 fingers. That's a tefach.
Yeah.
So even though the circumference is a tefach, But that's not going to be good enough because the diameter is only going to be a third of a tefach. Af al pi. That's what I said. Hareze mitame asanos. It will still be mitame the person who is lifting it up. He'll have a tumas shiva of 7 days, but only derabanan.
Oh boy.
Umevi lo tuma midivreim, and it brings rabbinic tuma upon him, and it means I have to get sprinkled with a paradum and everything rabbinically. But why? And here's the point. Because what if we would say that he's, because what would he be anyway?
He's tummy 1 day.
He's tummy 1 day for because sure. He's carrying the item.
Right.
But what mistake, what might people make? People will say, well, they thought it was an ohel. Yeah. They think it was an ohel. They don't know all the ins and outs.
Yeah.
And if we're going to say it's only tummy 1 day, they're going to mistakenly think that an ohel is only mitame you for 1 day. Therefore, they were goyzer him, shegazer al sheyeshba kefo tefach, even though only the circumference is a tefach, mishum sheyesh berach bo tefach, because it is possible to a case where the width would be a complete tefach, they fear it wouldn't be any difference, only tummy 1 day. We don't want them to make that mistake. And therefore, rabbinically say he's tummy 7 days. But anything else, let's say there's something else under there. You got the mace, you got the man carrying it, and now you got something else over here.
Yeah.
So we will not allow the say to goes anything else because the other things aren't going to be tummy anyway.
Yeah, right.
It wouldn't be tummy 1 day.
Right.
The man lifting it, he's tummy 1 day because he's lifting the thing that's tummy.
But it's not really an official oil because it doesn't
but
make
he
the
is for sure tummy
he's tummy
1 day.
But whatever underneath the oil doesn't right. make it. Doesn't
so now if
it.
We only make him tummy 1 day, we'll think anybody under an oil, the tumasol is only 1 day and not seven. But the other things that are not underneath and aren't tummy at all, if we're not making tummy at all, no one's going to make a mistake. They're going to realize it must not have been an oil. Avalena maybe as a tumah like kelim shetach, if it doesn't bring tumah to the utensils underneath, l'shar adamar to another person, shall lem that it tents over al tumah atchiabo rochav tevach until there's a diameter of a tevach. If the circumference is 3 tvachim. Then everything underneath is tummy like a regular tumas oil. If it's not, if it's at least 1 tefach of diameter, so of circumference, we're now going to rabbinically make the fellow who's carrying it tummy 7 days, so we won't mistakenly think that when you are tummy by an oil, you're only tummy for 1 day.
Whoa.
Good place to stop.